Now, out of respect for our Lord Jesus Christ, we rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus says, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." The Gospel of the Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's message is the Gospel lesson, and specifically this verse. "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home." 2010, coming to an end. How would you describe it? When you look back 10, 20, 30 years from now, what will you think of when you think of 2010? Well, for me, Alyssa, a very good year. We got engaged. She planned a wedding. I got fitted for a tux. We got a call from Zion Lutheran Church. Maybe you've heard of it. We accepted the call. We got married. We came here. We got settled down. Alyssa found a job in Upper St. Clair, and away we went. But how would you describe 2010? 2010, another losing season for the Pirates, another winning season for the Penguins and Steelers. 2010, another year of grace, another year of being in Christ. If you were using JFK for your travels this last week, you would probably want to use other words to describe this year. And if you were stuck between Beijing, China, and Outer Mongolia back in August, and got stuck in that traffic jam, which lasted over a week and a half. Can you imagine being stuck in traffic for over a week and a half? You would probably end up describing 2010 as a year of waiting. It's hard to imagine anyone wanting to define a whole year with that word, waiting. But I suggest to you that as Christians, we should do just that. 2010, a year of waiting. Some of us spent part of 2010 waiting for a job, others waiting for test results to come back, waiting for school to end, waiting for school to begin, waiting for a promotion, waiting for a paycheck, waiting for another sports season to start, and waiting for that sports season to end. And for about 2,000 years, the Christian church has been waiting. You have been waiting. And our gospel text this evening talks about the wait that all Christians up until now have had to endure. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. If we are to understand these words of Jesus from Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 35, we have to understand the context. In a few verses before our text, Jesus teaches his disciples that they should, in these words that you probably know so well, not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor your body, what you will wear. Jesus teaches his disciples that instead of worrying about the things that the average person living in a subsistence economy would worry about, he says, don't worry about that stuff. But Jesus, I work 6 days a week. 12 hours a day just to put food on the table, just to put clothing on my back. And you're telling me not to worry about the thing that I work 72 hours a week to keep going? Yeah. Okay, so instead of worrying, then what do I do? And Jesus goes on to tell them, he says, instead of worrying, seek his kingdom. Seek his kingdom. Look for where God is at work in creation. Look at where the curse, look at where sin is being broken and undone. Look where sick are made well. Look where the blind can see. Look where the lame walk. Look to where sins are being forgiven. Look to where people are loving each other and looking out for each other. Look at where God is at work. And when you see that God has not forsaken his creation, but that the Almighty Sovereign of the universe is intimately involved with the affairs of men, is concerned for them, and desires what is good for them. When you see that, all of a sudden, you're not worrying about what you're going to have for dinner or about what you're going to wear to go to work tomorrow. So the life of the disciple is one of not worrying and of seeking God where he may be found. But not only should the disciple of Jesus be seeking the kingdom, they are also taught that the kingdom will be given to them. God doesn't take his reign and kingdom and say, count to 100, and then I'm going to hide it somewhere, and then you can go look for it. He doesn't try to keep the kingdom hidden from us. Yes, it may be hard for us to discern the working of God in creation, but God also says this. He says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We look for proof that God is at work in creation now, undoing the curse, forgiving sins, making right what sin and Satan and our own sinful nature have made wrong. Yes, we look for that, but we also trust that the kingdom of God will come without our prayers and without our seeking it. It will come in fullness and be delivered to us on that day that we so much wait for. So we're supposed to seek the kingdom, and we're supposed to trust that our Father in heaven is going to give us the kingdom. He's going to give us a creation. He's going to give us a soul and a body that sin has no effect over. And then we get to our text this evening. Be like men waiting. We're waiting for this kingdom that's come here and there, hiddenly, to be revealed, to be manifest, unmistakably, once for all. We see the kingdom at work today. We see Christ coming to us in the means of grace. We hear those words of absolution. We see God at work in the waters of baptism, causing life to come out of death, causing sins to be forgiven. We see it in the Lord's Supper as Christ reaches through time and space and gives us his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. We see it when people forgive one another, when relationships are restored. We see God at work. And when we see God at work, we want more of it. We want the sick to be made well. We want those who don't believe to believe. We want people who are walking around in the sin in which they were born to be forgiven. And we wonder, how long, God? But notice the thing for which we long and hope for is not our death or going to heaven when we die. We are told to wait and look forward, not to take a mystical, magical, ethereal trip to the Master, but for the Master to come physically to us. He who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't happen in 2010, and I hope that God proves me wrong in the next 4.5 hours. And so we begin another year of waiting for the kingdom to come in its fullness, for Christ to return, raise the dead, and make right what sin has made wrong. Year after year, we wait and know Jesus. Year after year, we wonder, will this be the year? Were the Mayans off by one? Maybe? 2011, the year? Christians want it to be the year, and yet year after year after year, we grow weary of waiting. And so what do? We make up theological games to play while we wait, and instead of waiting patiently for his return, we pretend that the goal of the Christian's life is his or her death. And instead of waiting patiently for his return, we pretend there will be a magical rapture where Christians will disappear from the earth. But God has never, in history, had a creation without a remnant and without a people. When I was growing up, I lived in the back seat of a 1979 Cadillac sedan DeVille back when, well, they fell apart the moment you drove them off the lot. But I love that car because when you're 5 and 6 years old and you're in the back of the, you have unlimited, it's like giving an adult an acreage. And so we'd go on these road trips to see family, to go on vacation, and I was thrown in the back seat. And my parents thought at the beginning, when I was younger, they'd give me matchbox cars, and I would play with matchbox cars in the back seat. And of course, every kid can, I mean, how many times can you ram match? Forever. And so I'd be playing with these matchbox cars. The problem was, I would end up burying them under the seat, and they would remain there until mom and dad would have, you know, company sit in the back seat of the car, and then someone would sit on a fire truck, and then no more matchbox cars in the back seat. So we graduated to G.I. Joes and Transformers, and I would play endlessly in the back seat of the car with G.I. Joes and Transformers, waiting for us to get to where we're going. Now, you get DVD players built into your car. You can play on your iPhone. You can surf the web. You can do any number of things to pass the long periods of time waiting to get to where you're going when you're riding in a car. Just yesterday, on our way back from visiting family, Alyssa bought P90X. I think it's for us, but it might just be for me. But when it comes to waiting for Jesus to come back, what should we do? What should we do while we wait for Christ to come back? In the verses between when Jesus says it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom and telling us that we should be like men waiting, Jesus gives his disciples a list of things to do while they wait for his return, for the kingdom to come in its fullness. Jesus says this, "Hey, while you're waiting, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." In other words, Jesus says, as you wait for the kingdom to come in its fullness, as you wait for me to return, invest in things that last. Invest in things that will continue on into the new heavens and the new earth. Knowing the heavens and the earth will be destroyed by fire, according to 2 Peter 3, and that the only things that will survive the judgment are good things, why spend time and effort investing in things today that will be burned when Christ comes back? So maybe it's worth asking as we approach the new year, are the things you invest your time in going to remain when the kingdom comes, when Christ returns and brings about the new age? And if not, then why invest in them? Are you going to have your job in the new creation? Because you will have your family. Are you going to have relationships in the new creation? Are you going to be allowed to keep all of your stuff? Probably not. We have a chance in how we live our lives, investing in things that will last when Christ comes back. Forgiveness, love, compassion, family, the body of Christ, the church. To do things today that will echo literally through eternity. Maybe 2011 will be the year. Maybe this will be the year when the bridegroom returns. And maybe this will be the year that our wait will end. Maybe it will. And maybe it won't. But 2011 can be the year that you and your family say, in view of the promised coming of our Savior and the new heavens and the new earth, in view of the fact that the kingdom of God has already come to us through the means of grace, that Jesus has saved us, that eternal life is already ours, that this is going to be the year that we take a look at where we spend our time, what we invest in. And in 2011, we're going to make a conscious effort and a real decision to invest more in the things that will last and less in the things that don't. So where's the gospel in all this get ready and wait talk? That is the gospel. Christ has died. Christ has risen. And Christ will come again. If Christ hadn't lived in perfect obedience to the law, if Christ hadn't fulfilled the law on your behalf and mine, if Christ hadn't been put to death, if Christ hadn't been raised from the dead, if Christ hadn't conquered death, then there'd be no reason to speak of his return. And the very hope that we have in the return of Christ is proof of our belief in the gospel as well. Thank God for 2010, for life and living in the kingdom. And we'll pray that in 2011, we would spend more time investing in the things that last and less in the things that don't. Be like men waiting. Lord willing, this will be the year. In Jesus' name, amen.